Hello, everybody. This is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today on the Startup Trip, we're going to talk about what should you do if your clients or customers aren't paying you.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Or are paying way too late. So, here's the reason why I wanted to talk about this, Heaton. I had a founder email me, you know, a few days ago, basically asking for advice. He has one very large customer. The problem might already start there. And that customer just decided not to pay and isn't paying. It's basically saying that they are going to pay, but, you know, he has to wait to get that money. And he was describing sort of how helpless he feels. And he's like, this is a really big company. I don't really know what to do. Should I get a lawyer? I don't have that much money. Should I just wait? But I need the money right now. Can't wait for a couple of months to get it. Like, what do I do? And that triggered that thought, like, this has happened so many times in so many different situations when a customer's not paying or paying way too late that I thought, hey, this would be a good, cool, fun episode. So, to jump to this one specific example, we might go more broadly, but to start there, what would you advise this founder to do? You're a single founder, you have a big customer, the customer decides, money's going to come a little later. What can you do? What should you do?
Make sure you don't rely on one single customer that's that large. I mean, so that's what you do before you get in the situation. But even if you're in the situation, go find more customers. Like you don't have much of a choice. I mean, like, look, this goes like, this is the reason this is going to be a fun one. Like, you don't control other people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, there are definitely things to do. And I know we'll talk about them, but someone doesn't want to pay you or is lagging, then the first thing I do is I go look at my contract. What does my contract say? Because hopefully they signed a contract and they're contractually obligated to certain things, right?
Right.
Usually some of them involve paying on time, and on time is determined by the contract. So I start there. I send them an email or a message or a phone call or whatever, and I let them know, like, you know, basically work's going to stop until they pay. You don't need to work until they pay.
Yeah. The service will be interrupted, right? Yeah, whatever the service is.
Just like your cable, just like your, you know, water bill, whatever. You don't pay, you don't get service. So I would look at my contract because you probably forgot what you put in there, and make sure that you know what the terms are. Based on that, I would email them and then tell them the service, like you said, the service will be paused until they pay.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. So, all right, so there's a lot to unpack there. Number one, I want to give a tip for people that are interested going after large customers. Check out episode number 236, how startups should go after the enterprise. You can just Google thestartupchat.com 236 and you'll find the episode. You should listen to that one. But number one, don't have one large customer, like Heaton said. And this relates to the episode. Like, you need to have large customers, you need to have the infrastructure to be able to support that. Part of the infrastructure actually means the financing. You know, the money it requires to service a customer like that, and at times to wait as long as it might take to actually get the money from them. A lot of big companies, they like to pay 60, 90, 120 days after they receive the service, right? They like to, like, really push this as far as possible, right? They manage their cash flow. They have a whole department to do that. So you want to make sure that you have the infrastructure to be able to deal with that, as well as, like, having maybe a big customer that might be very costly to service and support and to acquire, and then they go out of business or something like that. Like, all these things are part of cost of doing business when you go after large customers. Hence why it's a good idea to have the internal resources, the people, the money in the bank, the expertise to go after that kind of a customer. Now, as Heaton said it, you know, now once you're in that situation, you know, there's really not that much that you can do. I mean, you can look at the contract and demand. You can threaten them either with, you know, pushing the off button and, like, stopping service, or with legal action. You know, you could lawyer up and go after them. and fight or PR up and be like, I'm going to publish this big blog post. I'm going to write a whole thing about my bad experience. But the question is, usually small teams, small companies, startups, they either don't have the resources or the expertise or the appetite to really go into a big fight. Turning off the service is a simple fight. It's a simple thing to do. But really lawyering up and going, you know, taking legal action can take a ton of time, resources, energy, focus, money. Most startups won't have that. Same thing also with like PR battles. If you're a genius at that and you have fun picking fights, maybe, but picking fights with your prior customers, not always a great idea. It's just one of those things that you know, might not be advisable depending on who you are and what your situation is. You might have to just suck it up and move on with life, cost of doing business. Sometimes a big customer might do something terrible, and the best choice for the business and for your sanity might just be to, you know, eat this shit sandwich and move on with life, right? Just take it as a loss and move on versus pouring a lot of attention, energy, and fight into it. I think the better part of this episode, we might want to switch into the prevention part, which one is, you know, obvious advice: try to not rely on one customer, try to have as many customers as possible. You know, if you go after really large customers that pay huge amounts of money, make sure that that you have a really good grasp on the payment structure. You'd be surprised, people would be surprised how many startups have closed large deals, and upon me asking what the payment structure was, they really didn't have a good handle on it. They were so focused on the total contract value. Oh, this is a $250,000 deal. It's awesome. When are you getting the money and how, right? Well, I don't know. It really, literally, like 9 out of 10 founders would be like, well, it's not quite sure. Or they would guess. Like, I could just tell people, well, they're going to pay the week where they start using our software. Really? Is that in the contract? So, in those words? And then they go, oh, no, but isn't that normal? It's like, no, it's not normal.
Yeah, one thing I suggest is literally asking for payment up front.
Yes.
If you can do it. Like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like, just do it. Ask for payment up front, please.
Yeah, you should always ask for payment up front. You should incentivize. Like, in some businesses, I've seen this and I've advised people to do this. In certain circumstances, it should be mandatory. It's not even optional. You always have to prepay for a whole year. That's the way. If you want to be a customer of ours, this is the way this works. You might lose some potential customers, but you might have a much more stable business, much healthier business. In other markets, it's harder to do because it's not the way that, you know, your competitors are doing it. It's not the way that the customer is used to buying or capable of buying. But you should always, always push as hard as you can for prepayment, pay upfront. Maybe you have to incentivize a little bit. Maybe they get a better deal in terms of a better price if they pay upfront. Maybe they get, you know, better service. Maybe they get some support for free. Maybe they get access to certain features. Whatever you have to do to incentivize your customers, you should always heavily push for them to pay up front, especially in the early days. Cash is king. Cash flow is really important. And most 1, 2, or 3 person teams that are at the very beginning, like, you can afford to lose a little bit of money in the long term, but having great cash flow, money always comes in even before you start servicing a customer. It's going to put you in a so much more of a strong, healthy position than the other way around, where, you know, you set them up, you onboard them, you customize the software, you travel there 10 times, you have a million calls, you put together PDFs, you sign contracts, you do all this work that costs money. And then you start servicing them and then you're like, well, where's the money? And then you send them an email and it takes them 2 weeks to respond and be like, well, yeah, we'll typically pay vendors 90 days after whatever. And then even in that case, you know, 90 days are gone, money's still not there. You send an email, takes them 3 weeks, and then they said, like, oh, there was an error in our bookkeeping. We should have this done in the next couple of weeks. And you're dying a slow death while they couldn't be bothered by this. This is actually standard practice. Don't think this is like an exception or something that's just unreasonable. Only a terrible company would do this. You know, most of the Fortune 500, most of the really notable, great, large organizations are going to squeeze their little vendors as much as they can on payment terms. So ask to be paid upfront, push to be paid upfront. It's going to put you in so much stronger position. T, to not have to be in a situation where your business might run out of money. You might have to fold up your business because a customer decided not to pay you or pay you way too late.
No, it suck.
Yeah.
Right? It just suck. Like, and that's the position people get themselves in. So I think like the contract really matters. Getting paid up front is a critical component if you can do it. And like you said, you can incentivize it if you need to. Look, you know, the part of this is psychology, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are just not willing to ask for things. They're not willing to ask for the money up front. They're not willing to put certain terms in their contracts. And you know, you essentially, when you do that, you're devaluing the service you're providing. And that's, it's not a good idea. You're providing a service to people, or you're providing a software, whatever it may be. Like, make sure that you're taking care of yourself too. And make sure that you know that they're not doing you a favor. You're not doing them a favor. There's a transaction there, right? People are giving you money. You're providing a service. So make it very clear that that's what's happening and ask for what you need. And you will generally prevent a lot of these kinds of issues, because one way you'll prevent it is you just won't get the client that won't accept your terms. Because if they won't accept those terms, then they might be the type of client that won't pay you eventually. Plus, if they think they can't pay you, they won't pay you.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest one. It's that if you act nicey-nicey and super reasonable, and you're always, you know, wait 2 months until you voice that there's something that they didn't do, like pay you or something like that, if they think they can get